There is an old belief that the universe is made of stories, not atoms. Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff is a show that's about the stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Dialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. In an era of going green, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How do stories influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? Dr. Jeff offers stories of wisdom, healing, and transformation, and engages others to tell stories of what it means to be human and weavers of the fabric of the world, Gaia. Expect the provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic with Dr. Jeff. Get ready to expand the imagination, heal the heart, and inspire personal, social, and planetary evolution. Now, here's your host, Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us today as we engage in one of the oldest acts known to humanity, that of storytelling, where we sit together as a community and listen to the old myths, the old stories, as well as the new stories and stories of epic reinvention. Every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue Radio, we'll have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. Now today, I have social entrepreneur, storyteller, herbalist, plant spirit medicine practitioner, Victoria Reddick, here to discuss her work in the world. And when I think of the whole idea of dialogue, I can't think of a better person to have on our show today. To really talk about what does it mean to be in conversation with the planet. And so I'd like to introduce everyone to Victoria. Victoria, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I'm very pleased to be here talking with you today.
Well, so this is a big topic, but how does someone get into, you know, what is the calling to dialogue? I mean, when I think of dialogue, I really do think of being in conversation with the planet. And, you know, sometimes people can think that's much more of kind of a cerebral practice. But, you know, there are people right. in the world like yourselves who really feel the planet talking back. And I remember a couple of years ago, I met a flint napper. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's somebody who really kind of sharpens stone. And this person was a flint napper, and he was making flint stone knives. And I said, well, why do you make knives with stone, sharp stone? And he said, because it's less painful to the plants, and they talk to me. And it's less painful than steel, which is different. And it kind of cracked my head open, and it was like hitting me at my blind spot. And I know that this is kind of your calling in the world.
It is. It is. And it's something that goes all the way back to childhood. When I was a little child, I could hear the plant speaking, actually. When I was about 3, 4, 5, it started becoming very clear that I could hear the plant speaking. I had a grandmother that was a horticulturist and gardener who also influenced me, because I would pick her brain as to what everything was for and what it was used for and the Latin names of things. But really, it was the deeper connection with the plant speaking to me directly that I got really interested in this. And for a while, I would just go out as a child, you know, and spend hours and hours, like most children, out in the woods and with the flowers and with the trees and with the plants, and I would actually hear them speaking. And I luckily came from a family that was pretty tolerant of this and didn't think I was mentally ill, so.
That's always helpful.
I haven't been diagnosed as a schizophrenic, no. And so it was something that wasn't really, you know, pushed away. And as a lot of children, you know, who see things, talk to things, it slowly fades away, their abilities, because, you know, it's not tolerated by society. And so that was where it first started for me.
So when you say plants speaking to you, I mean, I can see some people going to like something out of Little Shop of Horrors with the Venus flytrap
exactly.
and say, feed me. It's not like that.
Right. It's not something that actually literally comes through your ears. It's more of a feeling. It's a It's emotions, it's feelings, it's very intuitive. Very intuitive is how I would describe it. And it's something that I've developed over many, many years to be able to hear it and do it very well. And, it's an ability that I think all of us humans carry in our DNA all the way back to our ancestors, way back in time that were, you know, people often ask, like, how did the people know how to use this particular plant for one ailment or another? And oftentimes they found these things through the plants themselves. It wasn't through poisoning themselves many times over to find out how much they needed to take of something. It was direct communication with the living world. And so this is something that I've developed.
So did you, you mentioned that your grandmother was a horticulturalist and you all had conversations. Did you kind of pick up anything from her, or is this just something that's truly just kind of, it's come through you
I picked up her love that she had for the plants and her respect that she had for the plants. I didn't go the scientific route, although I do incorporate that as well into what I do, but I am more of a feeling and intuitive person. So I took the route of directly learning from the plants. And I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't know the Latin names or know the uses scientifically. But I'm using more of the deeper wisdom of my body, of my ancestors, and of the plants themselves, and my listening to them. So, yes, now, my grandmother definitely had a big effect on my interest in it.
So you have an herbal apothecary. And, I mentioned at the beginning that I think part of Gaialog, the other part of it is for all of us, is this kind of, you know, what it means to really live, you know, live your voice. And sometimes that's kind of this constant epic reinvention story. But to follow this thread that you have had, you know, how did you come to, you know, setting up an herbal apothecary, and how do you see it kind of impacting the world?
Right. Well, this is something that developed over a lot of time. I was really interested in the planet and nature and biology, all these things when I was young, and I ended up becoming going into environmental sciences. And teaching environmental education is actually where my first step into this world. And I was a naturalist working at a couple different parks, doing programs with children and adults and teaching about nature. And I was really feeling there was a lack of the spiritual element of that. And so I really enjoyed teaching, and I loved teaching what I taught, the scientific parts of it. But I was really longing to express the other part as well. And I felt that it really needed to have both. And so at that point, I worked in that field for a long time, and then I ended up doing other things. And what I did is I was a conservation course supervisor for a while, and I actually incorporated some of the spiritual work that I do with the plants into what we did. And, and eventually I left that and just started my own business. And that was the only way that I knew that I could really fulfill what I wanted to do. Was to work for myself and not work for a government agency or work for a park service or whatever. And so I started my own business 13 years ago and started doing this full time. And over the years, over about 28 years, I've been studying herbalism. And it was a long time coming to get into doing this on my own. But yeah, I have been doing it the last 13 years and really enjoying it.
But you followed this, it's like if you build it, they will come. I mean, it seems like you've had, it seems to me that when you have the plants speaking to you and telling you their stories, you know, there's what do you do when you hold, what does it mean to hold the story and not do anything with it?
What does it mean to hold the story and not do anything with it?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes if you have a story, like, you know, if you're hearing this, if you're picking all of this up from the plants, and from the world around you, and you can't tell that story,
if it's your passion, it's really going to eat at you until you find an expression for that, you know, it's something that wants to be shared. And I think it's really valuable at this time, the people that are doing this kind of work, to breathe life back into the living world to people that think the planet is, you know, only from the scientific worldview. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bringing that other piece back is really important, and to create something new with that. I don't know if I answered your question, if I'm just rambling, but...
I think you absolutely need to
find an expression. You know, either you're going to do it through art, or you're going to do it through medicine making, or you're going to do it through healing work that you do. Yeah, it's definitely going to need to have a place to come to inside of you to express out in the world. So I've expressed it in different ways. I do healing work on people. Shamanic healing work that I also do with the plant spirits, and that means I need to develop a relationship to these plants, and I can't just ask something from a plant that I don't have a relationship with, and so that's a relationship that's built over time, and I have a plant ally then that I can call upon to help me, but it's through a reciprocal relationship, one that I feed. So it's not just masking for the help of something. It's a reciprocal relationship that I built over time where I give prayers to the plant, or I give, you know, tobacco prayers or whatever it is that I do, and also with my intention and my time. Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about that. We got to take a quick break about the reciprocal nature. Great. Well, listen, you were listening to Gaialog Radio with Dr. Jeff, and today my guest is Victoria Reddick. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Tune in to Gaialog Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Gaialog Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Gaialog Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insights and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
We're back on Guyalog Radio with me, Dr. Jeff, your host. And today our guest is storyteller and herbalist Victoria Reddick. Victoria, before we kind of launch into this next segment, if people want to know more about what you do and your work in the world, what's the best way for them to learn more about you and get in contact?
They can go through my WordPress blog site called Urban, H-E-R-B-N, Trickster, T-R-I-C-K-E, Trickster. So it's all one word, Urban Trickster, and .wordpress.com. And okay. That's a great way to get a hold of me. And on that website, I do write-ups about plants and different plants that I'm working with at the time. So there's articles. There's also information on how to get in touch with me and ask questions. And it's all kinds of good stuff on there.
Well, I know I was on your site earlier, and I was noticing that you were talking about herbs for Venus. And yes. What does that mean? Herbs for Venus.
It's the astrological associations with the plants. So we were able to see Venus, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure, a week and a half ago or something, crossing the sun. And so I mentioned a couple of plants that were associated with Venus so that people could attune with the plant spirits at that time. So I did a
that was the, you're talking about the Venus, the
Venus
when it
transit.
Crossed. The transit
transited the sun.
It'll happen like 150. It will happen again like 150 years.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
It's not something that happens very often. So I was just in honor of Venus. I mentioned a couple of the plants that are associated with her. So.
Well, you know, one thing I think is so interesting about your work and, you know, how it relates to this concept of Guyalog is, you say astrology, and a lot of people don't connect it to the plant world.
Right.
But I try to think of astrology more as like our astro ecology. And when I think of the whole heliotrope effect, and for anyone, the heliotrope effect is where plants will actually track the sun, and they'll actually move as the sun moves. And to me, that says so much, you know. And in our busy world, we don't. There's a lot that we don't recognize that's going on, and there are a lot of plants that are right in front of our face that may have a lot more to say in the world and have want to have a relationship with us. And you were talking earlier about how do we breathe life back into the world, and how do we kind of have a reciprocal connection to the plants around us. And I think that, you know, one way to kind of dive into that question is thinking about this notion of weeds, not the kind that you smoke,
right.
But the kind that's in your yard.
Exactly. And, like the dandelions and things like
the
that.
Dandelion.
Yeah.
Yes. So say something about the dandelion, you know, other than like, don't use Scott's fertilizer or, you know, weed killer on it.
Well, dandelions are one of the most nutritious plants out there, and they're growing everywhere, and everyone has them in their yard. And they're one of those plants that are so good for us in so many ways. The energetic part of it is that they help release emotional grief that's stuck in the body. So made as a flower essence, which is like a plant spirit tincture, that can be helpful for that. And on a physical level, eating the dandelions, eating the roots, eating the flowers, it's really good for the liver, especially good for the liver. And then you've got parts like tinctures and things that can be made from it. Putting it in your salad is great. Tastes great in salad. Flowers are great in the salad. It's cherry. It's something that's right there, you know, and you could have a relationship with that that's right in your yard.
So what
plants like that.
Is there I love that idea. I mean, it's right. They're right there in front of you. They're
right.
They're in your life, you know. And you don't necessarily need to go out to your yard with a bottle of like ranch dressing and chow down.
Right.
But
exactly.
You know. But what does it mean to have this new relationship? You know, I mean, so I think people can get like looking in their yard and.
Well, here's an interesting thing. The work of Stephen Buhner, he's written many, many books about plant spirit medicine. His work, he goes into great detail about how he believes that you can walk into a person's yard and you can diagnose their illnesses by plants that show up in their yard. And I truly believe this is true. I've lived on this property that I live on now for 15 years, and I've seen different things come up. And they just happen to be the things that I need or my family needs or friends need. And it's amazing how things will change around, you know. You won't have the same plants every year, the wild plants growing in your yard every year. And it's because usually you're not dealing with the same health issues every year. And so it's a whole different way of looking at things that can be extremely useful. And building a reciprocal relationship is just as, can be as little as just not pulling the dandelions or poisoning them. You know, honoring that they are there and they have something that they bring, and attuning to that in whatever way that you like. You know, giving it some tobacco or giving an offering of some sort, or just even sitting with it and just being quiet and listening. And that's something that humans need to do more often, I think. We're so busy talking and expressing, but we're not taking the time to sit and listen to the natural world that's around us. And I think that's something that we could all really benefit from.
You talking about all that actually reminds me of when I was a kid in the like early 70s, I remember there was this kind of, I don't know why I remember this, but I remember hearing a lot at that time about people having, telepathic relationships with plants. And I remember kind of sitting around, like, literally, I kid you not, they were prayer plants trying to move plants with my mind. And I don't think it ever worked, but I do remember, you know, just kind of sitting with the plants and, you know, pondering that question and pondering, you know, well, we live in such a world that's so human-centric or anthropomorphic or anthropocentric that, I know that you do a lot of storytelling work in connection to this kind of ethnobotany or the kind of, how do you speak for the plants in ways that is more covert, so to speak? Meaning, does that make sense? Meaning, like, a lot of times people won't necessarily...
I do know what you're talking about.
They don't want to hear about herbal essences, but...
I'm sorry?
Sometimes people don't want to hear directly about herbal essences, but you might want to, like, tell stories that makes them rethink their relationship with the natural world.
Right. Well, there's so much folklore around plants, stories around the plants, and all of our ancestries, you know. You can Google any culture all over the world, and they've got stories about the plant. And a lot of those stories have stories about the use of the plant. And that was a way for, you know, people to remember the uses. If they have a story that incorporates the plant into it, you're going to remember it more likely. And anyway, so that's one way. That's one way, through storytelling, absolutely. And the flower essences that I make, which, you know, are the spirit medicine of the plant, not the physical property parts of the plant, which I also do as well, but I'm just making that distinction here in this call. The plants will tell me what they're used for on the spirit level, and that will be how it's used. And so that's a way, you know, people don't always ask me, well, how do you get this information? Well, it's from developing a long relationship with that plant and listening and hearing what it has to say. And that's something that, you know, like I said, this is not just something that I've developed and done this for a real long time, but I believe it's there for anyone that really wants to put the time in and open up inside to hear. So that's my two cents on it.
Now, I know that, do you see a lot of correlation with something like Chinese medicine and their use of, and kind of alchemy with the different herbs? And I mean, do you kind of work with it in a very similar way?
Well, there's lots of different, you know, there's Western herbalism, and there's Chinese herbalism, and there's Ayurvedic herbalism, and there's wise woman herbalism, and there's all these different ways to work with the plants. They all have different systems and philosophies, and I kind of mix some of those things together at times. I do believe they each have their own folklore around the plants. That's true. And some of those systems have stories as well of the uses of the plants. So, yeah, there are different connections.
This is going to sound like a crazy question, but being that you have this relationship, this kind of intuitive relationship with the natural world and the plants and the kind of the herbs, what do you pick up when you come around a lot of this genetically modified food that's out there?
Well, that's a great question.
Is it like sad lettuce?
I don't usually work with those plants, but I have a business partner that actually made a GMO corn while he's back visiting his family in Nebraska. And he is developing a relationship with that plant right now. And it's not something that I want to speak about at this time because he's still working with it. And it's not really my place to speak for him. But yes, he is working with a GMO plant. And I have really had no interest in that. I mostly work with wild plants. I do garden and have, you know, my herb gardens and things like that. But I'm a wild crafter. I do spend time up in the way out away from people, and that's probably my favorite place to spend with the plants. This place is where the living world is so, the life force of the land is very strong, and the medicine that I make from that plant and it coming from that pure, beautiful place definitely comes into the medicine that I make.
Well, let's talk more about this wild crafting and some of your work with kind of training and kind of mentorship, apprenticeship. When we come back, we're gonna take a quick break. All right. So we're listening to Dialogue Radio. Our guest today is Victoria Reddick, herbalist, storyteller, and all around social entrepreneur. We'll be right back on Dialogue Radio.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
What would it feel like to let go of a painful story that causes suffering? Discover how love is greater and more powerful than fear, anger, doubt, worry, or grief. Superior to any story about your life that causes suffering, there is a story of love waiting for you. Can you imagine a story without judgment? A story of forgiveness? A story that releases "I can't" and proclaims "I can." Imagine a story where you let go of what was and embrace what is and create what you want for the future. The first 25 audience members to contact Dana at danafrost.com and inquire about the Pay It Forward, Pay What You Can coaching promotion are invited to a one-hour power-packed coaching session or two 30-minute coaching sessions. You simply pay what you can afford to pay. In the subject line, please input Pay What You Can coaching inquiry.
In each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camino Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
We're back on Guyalog Radio with your host, me, Dr. Jeff. And today our guest is Victoria Reddick, storyteller, herbalist, and plant spirit medicine practitioner. And in our last break, we were talking a little bit about the role of story, particularly when it comes to handing down knowledge of the very various kind of the spirit medicine that's, or the kind of the ethnobotany, kind of the cultural views of what's alive and living in our world around us. And Victoria has a connection to a number of Native American and indigenous practices. And so Victoria, would you tell us a little bit more? You know, I don't know if you have a story, but maybe you could tell us a quick story that connects into, you know, how has knowledge, you know, before we had the internet, people had stories to kind of pass on information. So did you experience anything like this in some of your trainings and travels?
I did. Well, it's very interesting you ask. This goes all the way back to when I was an early teen. My stepfather was Navajo, and he was an engineer, and he decided that our family should move back to the reservation and live in the indigenous way while his great-grandfather was alive and his auntie, who was an herbalist. So we all moved back, my whole family, and we lived in a hogan, which is their traditional home, which shaped it. It's a round house, sort of similar to a yurt, but built out of cedar and earth. We lived in that, and we lived a very traditional life for a couple of years. And at that time, you know, all these things that I had learned when I was younger, speaking to the plants, I got to work with my adopted auntie, you know, who was an herbalist and didn't speak English. And a lot of the things that I learned from her were through watching her and, you know, watching how she worked with the plants. And so that's another part that ties into this, and storytelling and all of that were a very big part of the culture. And I took that with me, you know, when I moved away. And then, you know, I studied over the years a lot of different healing practices from different parts of the world. And South America was a place that really drew me very much. And I ended up spending a couple years down there with the medicine people. Learning different healing stuff and studying extensively. And yeah, I continue that practice as well. And my teacher now has retired a few years ago, and I've stepped into making myself available to pass this information on. And so I do this through a couple different apprenticeship programs and incorporate in my work with the plants as well. So it's kind of a hybrid. And yes, I do that. And anyway, so that's another part. And I was thinking about a story specifically that incorporates some of the things that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. There's an old story about a plant, about the osha root and how osha root, you know, was connected to bear medicine. And this is a story where an old man shows up into a village, and he's oozing sores, and he looks horrible and smells terrible, and he's kind of hunched over, and he goes from village to village, and they chase him away because they think he's diseased and nobody wants him around their children or their family. And one by one, each of these families in the village chase him away, and then finally he's desperate and asks for help. And someone says, well, go out to the woods. There's a woman that lives there who might be able to take you in. And so he ends up going into the woods, and this woman takes him in, and he looks like he's going to die. And he asks her, well, I'm probably going to die, but there might be this one plant that grows in a certain place that could help me. And he sends her out to pick it and tells her where to gather it and tells her the prayers that she needs to make and the offerings she needs to make to be able to collect it properly. And and develop a relationship with it, and she ends up bringing the plant back, and then he teaches her how to prepare it and make the medicine from it, and he takes it, and he's well for a short time, and then he gets ill again, and he sends her out for another plant in another place, in another whole way of gathering it and making medicine. So this is done over and over and over the course of a year, and he always gets a little bit better, then he gets ill again, and at the very end, there's a plant that he sends her to, and she gathers up this plant and brings it home, makes the medicine, takes the medicine, and the next day, he's much better, and he thanks her, and he tells her that Great Spirit sent him to her to teach her the plants, and as he walks away, you know, and he thanks her for the work that she did, and he walks away, he turns into a giant bear, and he goes out into the woods. And so it was a bear that was sent to teach the medicine. So that's a story that is in a bunch of different indigenous tribes and is one of the medicine stories. And there's many of these.
Now, when you were studying in Peru, is that correct?
Uh-huh. Right, Peru and Bolivia.
What is a, you know, do they have, I mean, do they have bear stories? I mean, when you told that story, I was thinking very much in the Navajo sense, because you were talking about living on Ogun and all of that. But what was it like going to, you know, a culture that's completely not like yours, yet there's so many connections when you've had the privilege of growing up on the Navajo reservation?
Right. I'll tell you, the first thing that struck me being down there was the beautiful relationship with the planet, with the living earth, which they call Pachamama. And there is such love that the people give to Pachamama, and constant offerings of love and prayers through their coca leaves that they blow their prayers into. And these ceremonies called despachos, which are big presents to the earth, basically, made with prayers and all kinds of special things that are either buried or burned. And so they have this relationship that's been going on for, you know, 1,000 years or more, that this beautiful reciprocal relationship with the living planet. And anyway, it really blew me away, the heart space that those people care for the earth, and that relationship that has been unbroken for all this time. And I wanted to bring a little bit of that into the work that I do, and you know, and inspire other people to have that reciprocal relationship with the earth that they live upon, you know, their yard, their plants, their animals, their wild things. And so that has really been a goal of mine, you know, in my way to inspire. So, yes, it definitely made a big impact on me.
It's, you know, when I call dialogue, people always say, what do you mean by that? And I always say it's the ritual and conversational practice of re-inhabiting the earth. And I think when I hear you talk about that, I mean, to me, to hear your story of their very conscious and ritual relationship with the planet, to me it screams dialogue. It is about
you know,
how we stop and slow down and be with the earth,
because we're part of the earth. We've just forgotten that, you know. We are part of the living world, and we humans, you know, we have a job here, and it isn't to dominate, and it isn't to use up all the resources, in my opinion. And it's to be one of an equal relationship with everything that is around us, the way that I believe our, you know, back in time, our ancestors, all of our ancestors, no matter where you came from, had that relationship at one point. And so I think it's important that we go backward to reach back in time to our ancestors that lived that way, and in order to move forward, you know, with the future. To bring that part back. And so, you know, it's not going to look exactly like our ancestors did. It will be something completely new. We're new people. So, of course, it can't be exactly the same, but it can be in reciprocity with the living world that is around us, whether that be plants or animals or the soils, the mushroom mycelium, the you know, no matter what part of nature it is, it's all a web, it's all a whole, and we're part of that. So, yeah, that would be my message, I guess. The intelligent nature is all around us and always speaking.
And if
we can open up and listen.
I love that. Intelligent nature is always speaking.
Yes, yes.
Great. Well, let's talk more about that and also maybe more about your apprenticeship program and how people can get connected into kind of re-inhabiting the earth, so to speak, when we come back from our break.
Great.
Okay, great. Well, we're here today with Victoria Reddick, storyteller, herbalist, and founder of Green Links Flower Essences and Herbal Apothecary. We'll be right back on Guyalog Radio.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Tune in to Guyalog Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Guyalog Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Guyalog Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
The heart. Did you ever notice how often we use this term in our expressions? My heart is breaking to see this. My heart sings. This person wears her heart on her sleeve. She has a big heart. That touches my heart. Intuitively, we know that in addition to our physical heart, we have a spiritual heart directly linked to the universe and our soul. Let the essence of gratitude infuse you on your journey. Join our Infusion of Gratitude community today and receive your free MP3 audio Infusion of Gratitude meditation. Daily use of this powerful 20 minutes meditation raises your awareness and welcomes health, wealth, and enriched relationships into your life. Visit explorationgratitude.com.
This is Dr. Jeff, and we're back on Guyalog Radio. My guest today is Victoria Reddick, storyteller, herbalist, and founder of Green Links Flower Essences and Herbal Apothecary. And we're in our final segment today. Our shows always go so fast, so I want to make sure that everyone knows how to get in touch with you, Victoria.
Yeah, I can be contacted through my website, which is Urban Trickster, urbantrickster.wordpress.com.
Great. urbantrickster.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Great.
That's it.
We also have the link to your website on our website, so in case
Great.
People forget.
Great.
You can always go
feel free to contact me if you have questions or whatever.
Well, you know, we were talking in the break, and I think that this is important, and I cannot remember the name of this book, and it's driving me crazy, but it was really profound.
Was it a long time ago that you read this book?
It was a few years ago, and I remember basically the book started off as this confessional about someone very similar to yourself who had this relationship with plants, and started teaching a class. And long story, but he'd almost kind of literally been living in the closet with this kind of relationship and this gift. And he went to New York City, and he went to teach this class, and he was really discouraged because only two people showed up, and he thought, oh, well, nobody really cares, and he was going to cancel the class. And two of these people who were urban city dwellers had come, and they started telling these stories of literally they walk by their plants or they go to people's homes, and very similar to what you said about the plants that show up in different people's yards or the plants that are around people were literally responding to their health. It was almost kind of like this kind of greater aura, kind of environmental aura that was responding to them. And they basically came to him almost in this Alcoholics Anonymous way, where they had these synchronicities that brought them to him. And they basically said, please help us because we've had these plants talking to us our whole lives and we don't know what to do with them. So, you know, in our final moments, you know, you have this urban, you have an apprenticeship program.
I do.
But even if, maybe they're not up for something like that, you know, how does someone out there who's listening, who has this type of, you know, thing going on with them and this relationship, you know, what do you recommend? You know, how do they kind of take the step?
I recommend sitting with your plant, you know, sitting with the plant, choosing a plant that really, like, calls to you in some way, you know, something that you really like, and spending time with it on a daily basis, and maybe journaling, doing a quiet meditation where you just quiet your mind and sit with that plant and make a dedication to doing that, you know, as often as you can, once a day, or maybe you don't have time, but you can only do it a couple times a week. But making that dedication and sitting in silence with that plant. And you can actually, you know, you can look at that plant, you can draw that plant, you can sit with it and listen. And you could do this with, you know, even if you lived in an apartment somewhere and only had a house plant to work with. It is a way to start doing this work. And, you know, there's also some fantastic books out there that you can look up and read. So that's where I would start if I was interested.
Are there any books that you'd recommend?
Any of Stephen Buhner's books, absolutely. He's written some really great books. Plant Spirit Medicine is one of them. The Teachings of the Plants is another one. And any of his books, actually, I would recommend. He brings the scientific and the spiritual both together in a beautiful way. And anyway, but there's many, many other great herbalists and teachers and books out there to read, for sure. So I would just, you know, start looking into that if you had an interest in it.
And in your apprenticeship, right, you call it the urban, herbventure?
Herbventure. Because it is an adventure. I like to, you know, I'm a very adventurous person, traveled all over the world, so I like to call my herb apprenticeship herbventure. And gives it a certain dynamic. And you're going to have a lot of quiet times, but you're also going to have times hiking back into the woods and spending time with, the plants of the deep wild, which I really love as well.
So in your herbventure program, the dogs go. The dog
yeah,
wants
that's,
to join.
That's my wild dog barking at my wild horse. So the window.
So if someone was, you know, do you do anything online, or do people need to come to your farm? If somebody wants to apprentice, you know.
Right.
I think you have a calling for that these days, you know.
Got a couple apprentices right now, and I've got a lot of friends that also learn from me, not in an official way, but absolutely, you can contact me through my website, and you can come out to the farm, and you can set something up, and basically, you know, I do my thing. I collect my plants, I do the work that I do, and I take people along with me, so it doesn't have to be in a really official manner. But there's also really other great teachers everywhere. So, anyway, that's what I would suggest.
Okay. There's just, you know, I feel like there's so much to talk about, and I'm feeling a bit tongue-tied.
There is, yeah.
So, you know, we were talking about this, you know, so what does it mean when we're all connected to this ancestry?
Right.
You know, I feel it's important that anybody, when it comes to sustainability, not make it into this, you know, sometimes this green revolution, I think, gets in the way. It makes it much more objectified. And when you were talking about earlier about the plants, I just kept thinking about, you know, the planet is, the planet and the idea of photosynthesis, and that the plants are always giving us this love called oxygen, and they're taking our carbon dioxide that gives them love. And they're, you know, just by breathing in and out, we have a relationship with the kind of the natural world. And I know in a lot of African traditions, sometimes they talk about the different, you know, sometimes we always hear earth or, you know, earth, wind, fire, and water, but they're right, like an African. Element. Yeah. They talk about sometimes it's nature. They have like a fifth element, and you know, Chinese has right. metal, but in the African traditions, this idea of nature is as being the fifth element, because it's the ultimate alchemical, because you're always seeing the kind of ebb and flow of life and always being forced to have a relationship with the planet and kind of breathe in and out. And so, you know, how do you, I have read a lot around the idea of dream time. With plants, and even something that people will recognize from Harry Potter, and that's mugwort. And, if somebody wants to even just let their dreams tell them stories in connection to plants and bring them into
Absolutely.
A deeper
relationship. I have plant dreams all the time, and I actually will get information about someone's health issue by plants that visit me in dream time and will say, this is what this person needs. And it may actually make no sense logically, but it makes all the sense, you know, and ends up helping this person. So, yeah, dream time definitely is a big way to work with plant spirits. Once you develop that relationship.
Do you, have you, you know, I mentioned mugwort because it's, like I said, it's, people know it through Harry Potter.
Mugwort, it's one of the Artemisia plants. And it's used for many things. It's used as a smudge, like people use sage in some cultures. It's used. It's for moxibustion in Chinese medicine, and which is when they use little sticks, and they light them on fire on one end and heat certain points in the body to do work on the meridians. Plants definitely speak to us through dreams, and that's something that our ancestors also, you know, and worked with. And the plants do speak to me through dreams. I've had many tree dreams, actually, in the last 3 weeks. With different trees coming to me, and ancestor spirits coming to me with certain trees associated with them. And I had one of my ancestors that were one of the first ancestors that came here in the 1600s, whose last name was Green with an E at the end, has asked me to change my name to Green so that I can work with it more directly. And I know that sounds totally wild, crazy, but at the same time, you know, who knows how these things work?
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, I think that I love the wild and crazy and how these things work, and so I encourage everyone to visit your website, urbantrickster.wordpress.com. That's H-E-R-B-N Trickster, T-R-I-C-K-S-T-E-R. So urbantrickster.wordpress.com. There's so much to talk about. Please come back. We can hone in on some of these things. It'd be great. And, you know, thank you for helping us understand new ways of getting into dialogue with the planet. So, you know, I want to thank my guest today, Victoria Reddick, for sharing such inspiring information about how we can come into relationship with the planet and develop this kind of connection back to our ancestry. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Dialogue Radio today. Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination and inspires you towards personal, social, and planetary evolution. Please join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Dialogue Radio, where we'll have some of the most gifted storytellers, social entrepreneurs, change agents, speakers, and authors helping you make sustainability epic. Again, thanks again to my guest, Victoria Reddick, and I hope you all have a great week.
You've been listening to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff Lineweaver. Tune in each week, Monday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more transformative stories of the universe. Dr. Jeff asks us to engage in the storytelling process of Gaialogue, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Explore the questions that challenge us all by asking, what do we make when we tell stories of healing the world and transforming ourselves? How does it influence personal and social evolution? What does it mean to take a storytelling perspective on sustainability? For more about Gaialogue Radio, visit www.gaialogue.com. That's gaialogue.com. See you next week on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.